up there in the crow's nest to control our sound. Appreciate you fellas doing that, taking care of things. Going to speak this morning from the 19th chapter of the Revelation. Do you ever notice when you wind up a spring, start out, it's sort of out here, and you wind, and there's not too much resistance, but as it gets tighter and tighter toward the inside and winds tighter and tighter, all at once, you know, you suddenly feel the pinch, and it's really winding up. It's really tough. Well, when we get to the 19th chapter of the Revelations, friends, that's what's happening. It's winding up. There should be a little preacher here about that tall named Russ Justice. He had some problems with him. If he got happy in church, clear the aisle quick, because he leaped over the altar and run down. We had two doors in the old church, run out one door and in the other and leap over the altar coming back. He'd get happy. But he used to sing a song called Time, 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 Time is Winding Up. Destruction's in the land and God's going to move his hand. Time is winding up. So as you read through the 19th and 20th chapters of the Revelation, it's winding up, folks. This is the winding up time. This is the time that it's all drawing to a close. So let's read the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. There's your key thing for today, folks. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See that thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Praise be unto God for walking on the holy ground that we just walked on as we read this scripture this morning. Every event doesn't just happen. Sometimes we hope for the best and aim scattergun-like, and we hope for a time that we can get it all done, hope we can get it all done. Then there are those of us who plan, those of us who think about what's going to happen and bring it together to cause it to be so. There's nothing that requires more patience and prayer and work and planning than a wedding. Nothing. And I should know, I had three daughters. I always said that for all the weddings I've performed, and I've performed over 1,035 weddings. And I have to tell you, maybe it's the judgment of God on me having three daughters, because we got to plan three weddings instead of just maybe one or something. But it's a big deal to have a wedding. Well, what if the king's son's getting married? What if the prince of all the ages, not just of some country, but the prince of all the ages. What if he's getting married? What if there's a great wedding coming? Well, throughout the scripture, and you need to go back and just read the whole New Testament. Do you good, by the way, to read the scriptures. And if you go back to it, you find out, my friend, that there's a wedding coming. Paul talks about it. Peter talks about it. Jesus had lots to say about a wedding coming. People getting invitations to the wedding, people preparing to go to the wedding, people doing all the things that are there for the wedding. And I have to tell you, you may have to order a lot of things. Somebody has to see about the caterer. Somebody has to see about the drinks. Somebody has to see about the clothing. Somebody has to see about getting a venue, we call it nowadays, for a wedding. Has to find a place and pay the price and schedule it and all of that. And all of this goes on and everybody gets together and then we start going down our checklist. Do we have this? Do we have this? Do we have this? And then finally somebody says, it's all done. It's ready. Is everybody ready now? Is everybody ready for the feast? Is everybody ready for the wedding? We've got the food. We've got the tables. We've got the chairs. We've got the clothes. We got everything it takes to have the wedding. Is everybody ready to go in? Open the doors so we can get in and let us in. And yet Jesus told a story about a man who went through all of that preparation and all of the things that they were doing. And yet when he got to the wedding, he didn't get in because he had not made preparation. Strange things went on weddings in those days compared to today. And yet I have to tell you, much is the same as today. And most of the time I expect that the bride and the groom's parents were just having nervous breakdowns then as now. But you're getting off easy nowadays, folks. You really are. You say, well, I don't know. It costs a lot to rent those venues. Yeah, all of that costs a lot, and I agree it does, and too much as far as that's concerned. But I have to tell you, folks, somebody has to do it, and somebody has to be there to receive it. And Jesus talked about this time and time and time again, that the wedding was coming, that the king had invited people to come to his son's wedding. People had were invited to be part of it. And so Jesus lets us know that Sarah, but it was different. You think you're having a hard time with the wedding now. What if you had to entertain the wedding party for a week? I tell you, one afternoon's about enough, don't you think? But how would it be if you had to do it for a week? In that day and time, a wedding was an excuse for a whole Palestinian town to break out and to have a big shindig for the whole week. They danced in the streets. They stayed up at night and ate and drank. They talked to each other. Yes, they had ceremonies and said their vows and all those things. But it took them a week to get done with it. They started out, and by the end of the week, they were wore completely out, and everybody went home to rest from the wedding. And you say, well, what about the wedding garments? Where did they go? Did they go to Chantilly Lace, or did they go to a men's warehouse or somewhere and rent the clothes? No, they didn't. The truth is that the host of the wedding was responsible for providing the wedding garments. You could rent them, I think. I read that. But you had to provide. The host of the wedding had to provide for the people to be dressed. So if you went to the wedding and you weren't ready and you didn't have the right garments on, it actually was your fault. If you came to the wedding, then you had an invitation to come. And if you had an invitation and came, then they provided you a gorgeous robe when you came in, silk or something, and you put the robe on and you went in and ate. It was. You say, well, that was simple enough. Well, it was, wasn't it? That's a simple thing. You know, most of the time in our weddings, who is the person who has the most attention given to at a wedding? It's the bride. But that's not true in this case. In this case, the great caution is to see the groom. And I have to tell you, nobody, including God himself, has seen the bride and the groom together. It's never been seen before. Jesus Christ, of course, is the groom, and the church of God here on this earth, dead and alive, are the bride. And they've never been together yet. But they're going to be. Hallelujah. They're going to be. And this is what is announced in the 19th chapter of the Revelation. The marriage of the bride has come. It's time. Everybody come. You remember Jesus told the story? And they went out and they went through the and told everybody, said the food's there, the clothes are there, everything's done and ready. Come on in and eat. And somebody said, well, I would come, but I bought 12 yoke of oxen. Now I got to go see if they'll work or not. Well, I was a fool to buy something he hadn't tried. Somebody else said, well, I'd go, but I bought some land and I've got to go see what it looks like. Now, there's a real idiot that buys land he's never seen. I mean, you know, he's the guy I want to talk to if I'm selling, you know, ice cream in Florida or someplace. I don't know. Man, great goodness alive. And then they're standing there. There's servants standing there with those garments to put on. And yet a man came in, walked by those garments, and refused to put the garment on. And you say, did he get in? Yeah, he got in. And everybody was in there, and everybody was having a big old time. And then the Lord came. Oh, my. Don't that strike something in your heart? Then the Lord came. And when the Lord came, and he walked in, and he was greeting the guests, suddenly there was a man who didn't have the wedding garment on. Question is, why don't you have the wedding garment on? Why aren't you ready for the wedding? I'll tell you why. Because he was too stubborn and self-centered to wear what he was given to wear by the Lord of all that was going on. You see, in the Revelation, we see all of this winding up, all the preparation through the years, all the prophecies from this precious old book, all of the words that God has sent down are winding up and coming to pass, folks. And as it winds up and comes to pass, two things happens. Number one, on earth, all hell breaks loose. Number two, in heaven, all heaven breaks loose. Two wonderful things happen. And my friend, when I look at this and I see it, you say, well, what happened in about the earth? What happened about hell? You said all hell broke loose. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you exactly what happened. They looked up and an angel came with a great stone. And the angel came up. You wonder about all these governments and all these things that's going on in the world today. Let me tell you where it's going to come to. Great angel came down from heaven and had like a great millstone on his back, and he walked up to the ocean and he gave it a heave and he threw it over into the waters. And when it hit the waters, they splashed out and made a great hole. And you know what he said? He said, this is what's going to happen to Babylon. This is what's going to happen to the governments of this world. This is what's going to happen to the harlot church that's prostituted the gospel of Christ. This is what's going to happen to the people who have tried to come in without putting the wedding garment on. This is what's going to happen to those who have denied the truth of the gospel and denied what God has given us to do. My friend, that like a stone cast into the ocean that splashes and makes a hole, my friend, so that the destruction of this world is coming. You see, the thing that men fear the most, my friend, is right here, right here. That. Maybe I should have got my credit card out, because they don't have much of that anymore. But all I got in is a credit card, and you wouldn't want it, because I don't have enough to fight over. But I have to tell you something, my friend. Everything's winding up. It's coming down to the end. It's reaching its final conclusion. All of hell has broke loose on the earth. You see, how come all hell's broke loose on the earth? Because sometime during the night, there's been a midnight cry made. Sometime during the night, there was a voice, hallelujah. Well, glory. Oh, yes. My. Oh, got goosebumps from my toes to my hair. Praise God. In the midst of the night, there had been a cry made. Everybody didn't hear it. Some people laid in their grave and didn't hear it. Some people went on to the nightclub and didn't hear it. Some people went on to the hell holes where they'd been expending their life and didn't hear it. But sometime during the midnight hours, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And people got up out of their graves and ran across the heavens to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People got up out of hospital beds and intensive care units and ran out of the hospital and through the air and met the Lord in the air and were changed forever. People got up out of the cancer wards and left cancer behind and went through the heavens with him. And my friend, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had come at the midnight cry. And when they got up in the morning, they found out that from the earth, all that was maintaining and holding order on the earth had left the earth. The church of the living God had been raptured at the midnight hour and carried away to heaven, my friend. And the church of the living God had been sanctified from this world. My friend, if you're not ready for this day, you better get ready. And you better get ready now. And you better tell your children and tell your children's children and tell your neighbors and tell your friend. My friend, we don't have no time to play. We don't have no time to mess around. We don't have time to be no halfway Christians, if there is such a thing. We don't have any time, my friend, not to do the things we should do, and because the time is at hand. The time is at hand. The marriage of the bride has come, and the call has gone out, my friend, to come. And people came, and somebody looked around and said, "Well, them five over there, they're already gone." Well, they had got up in the midnight hours and found out that you had to have light and oil to go. And my friend, they lit their lamps and trimmed them and filled it with the extra oil that they had. And away they went. And those who did not have the oil, my friend, somebody was preaching one day. I heard him preaching a funeral and said the oil all leaked out. No, the oil didn't leak out. They never had it to start with. My friend, those people needed the oil in their lamps. We used to sing an old hymn years ago. "Give me oil in my lamp to guide my way around the camp." Sister Burton used to like to sing that. It was old as the hills, and I guess that hit her good where she was raised to hear that when she first got saved. Brothers and sisters, all of the things that had been prophesied were coming to pass. All the things that were going to be had come to pass. And let me tell you something, folks. I can remember them old people standing down there in the church and prophesying and saying the day would come that the money would be counterfeited and be no good, and we could not be able to use our own money. And if you can't see that coming, my friend, you're not looking very good at all. And I can tell you, my friend, the plagues and the pestilences and the famines and all the things that have you noticed, my friend, that all of nature seems to be in rebellion. All of nature seems to be in rebellion. My friend, the final conclusion of the whole thing is that in all hell breaks loose on the earth because they look around and there's no church of God. There's no people in the world to stop what's going on. And my friend, all the devil's power lets go and he puts his mark on the ones that are serving him, and they're damned and doomed to hell forever, my friend, without a Savior and a King. And my friend, I warn you today and I warn the world, as this will go out across the web to the world, that people will repent and turn to God. My friend, everything. And you know what? No more. No more is what it says. No more will the sound of singing be heard in the streets of this world. No more will the merchants be rich and gather their money together. No more, no more. My friend, the time has come and the winding up has come, my friend. And the day of the Lord has come for the marriage, and we're going to have the wedding. Oh, you may not be ready, but we're going to have the wedding anyway. You say, I don't want the Lord to come. We used to, way back in the 50s, we could only sing what we're doing now. But way back in the 50s, we used to sing, "Wait a little longer, please, Jesus." There are so many still wandering out in sin. Let me tell you, any time, at any moment that the Savior comes, you're going to leave some people behind. It's inevitable. You're going to leave some people behind. I have to tell you what Uncle Joe said one time. You had to know him. He was really kind of funny, to tell you the truth. And I tell you what Uncle Joe said one time. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. Two'd be in the bed, one be taken, the other left. Two'd be in the field, one be taken, the other left. Two'd be grinding at the mill, one be taken, the other left. He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If anybody's going to be left, I hope it's Effie. Now, he didn't mean he wanted her to be lost, but he understood that Joe Deaton had to go to heaven for himself. Effie couldn't go for him, he had to go for himself. And my friend, I'm telling you today, you may have a good grandma, it was a praying grandma, I did. I had a praying grandma, talked in tongues and shouted every day, not just at church, but at the house and everywhere else and in town or just anywhere the Spirit would fall. They didn't care. They weren't a bit ashamed of it. My mother was the same way. My neighbors were the same way. The church was the same way. But let me tell you something, my friend. I can't go to heaven because Grandma had the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I can't go to heaven because Grandma repented of her sins. I'm glad Grandma repented of her sins, and it paved the way for me and Sandra, all of us. But I have to tell you, my friend, Grandma can go on to heaven and I can go to hell. I don't have to go to heaven because Grandma was saved. I don't have to go to heaven because Aunt June was saved or somebody, but I have to go to heaven, my friend, because I have made my calling and election sure, and I have come to the place that I can rejoice with the saints. And the saints in heaven are rejoicing. Why? Because no more will souls be sold and bought. No more will all of these horrible things happen. It said, no more. What happened on earth? The merchants of the earth cast dust into their head. They grabbed dirt and ashes and threw it on their head. And they wallowed in the dirt and they wept and they cried and they hollered. And why did they? Because they'd lost their living. They'd lost their pocketbook. They'd lost their ticket to this world and they didn't know what to do without it. And they were terrified of what was going to happen to them at the end. It was all over. No more. Oh no, all over but the shouting, my friend. Did you see what the number one watchword of heaven was? Did you happen to notice one word that just kept appearing over and over in that scripture? And if you go back in verse chapter 18, if you go forward for the rest of 19 and into 20, you'll find out that there's a word in heaven that they just keep saying. They can't say it enough. They can't say it often enough. They can't say it loud enough. Great multitudes are up there saying this word, and you say, what is it? It's hallelujah. It's hallelujah. It means praise the Lord. All of heaven has broke loose. You say, why? Because when heaven looks down to this earth, great God, what a mess it must be to look at now. It must look like scrambled demons down here or something. I'm telling you, I don't know what the view from heaven of earth must be, but it must be a sad view looking from up there down here. I want to tell you something, my friend. When all of heaven looks down and sees the kingdoms of this world destroyed, sees that scarlet-colored beast get its head cut off, sees that harlot that's riding on that beast of false religion gets thrown off, and the doors of hell open up, and all of these demons and things and spirits are cast into the lake of fire. And somebody said, oh, you ought to preach a burning hell fire. Well, then how am I going to preach a Bible if I don't preach it? How am I going to say the word if I don't tell you there's a burning hell fire to escape and a heaven to gain? My friend, I got to tell you, if I die before I get out of Clendenin and Holler, I want you to know, my friend, that there is a heaven you can go to, but there's a hell you can get away from, and you need to do it. And you say, do they have music in heaven? He said, I heard thousands of harpers harping with their harps. He said, I heard multitudes singing. And what were they singing? Here comes the bride. That's exactly what they were singing. They were singing about the bride is coming. Nobody has seen the bride, not even the groom. You say, but the groom is Jesus Christ and he's God. You got it, but he hadn't seen the bride. You see, some of the bride is living here on earth right now. Some of the bride is dead and in their graves waiting for the resurrection. And some of the bride has never been born yet. And they're going to be born and live. And one day when he comes, then those who have gone on, those who are here and those who have been born in the last little bit, all together will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody said, I want to be in the rapture. If you're saved, you will be. Don't worry about it. You say, I'd like to do it without dying. Well, now that's a horse of a different color. But if you're saved, my friend, you're going to be in the rapture. He's not going to leave anybody behind. The train may leave you, the bus may run off from you, but the rapture will never leave you behind, my friend, if the blood's on your heart and in your soul. You see, my friend, that only leaves one question. Only leaves one question. And you have to answer it, because I can't. You say, well, you're supposed to be the resident theologian here. Might be, but I can't answer this question because it's not addressed to me. The question is addressed to you. To you and to you, not to me. I've answered the question. I've heard the question and answered it, and I know the answer. You say, would you share the answer with you? Yeah, and it won't be cheating either, because the master of the test has instructed me to tell you what the answer is, and the answer is Jesus. Have you made yourself ready? I tell you, if you think it's bad about those guests going in without a wedding garment, think about a bride coming without a wedding garment. Think about a bride not having a wedding garment. Well, it won't happen, because the bride of Christ is without spot or blemish. If you can accept this, I'm going to tell you, after all I just said, that nobody has seen the bride. At any instant, even right now, the bride of Christ is perfect. Can you see that in the Word? At any instant, we're not talking about the visible church on this world. If you're talking about the visible church on this world, then Jesus got a mess for a church. I mean, all the denominations and fighting and carrying on and backbiting and I mean, even just within our little area, the number of crazy, stupid things that religious people do in the name of Jesus Christ. My goodness. We ought to reintroduce the paddle. Amen. Church folks need a spanking once in a while, folks. The question is, are you ready? If he came today, well, he's not coming today. I'm glad you know that. I'm glad you know that, because I don't know that. You say, how come you don't know? Because he said nobody knows. Not even the Son knew. Only the Father had it in His power. Now, you can work that out in your theology just any way you want to. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was standing down here on this earth, and God the Father Almighty was sitting on the throne of heaven, and Jesus Christ did not know something that the Father in heaven knew. The Father in heaven knew when He's coming back again. And Jesus, He said, no man knows. That's easy to accept. And then you know what it says? Not even the Son. Not even the Son knows. God's a pretty smart fella. He didn't put it on Facebook. He didn't put it on the net. He put it in His book, and He's told you all you need to know. You don't really need to know anything else but what's here. And you say, well, how's that? Now, you may be curious, as I'll get out, and I have been. Herb and I spent years being curious and running around and around and around trying to figure everything out, Dottie. But all that we ever needed to know, we knew. All that we ever needed to know, we knew. You say, what was that? Well, Myrtle, Malin's sister, used to come up here with her girls and their instruments, and they used to sing. And one of their favorite songs to sing was, I've Been to Calvary. My friend, if you want to go to heaven, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know a lot of theology. You don't need to know a lot of technical terms. You don't need to know a lot of things. All you need to know, my friend, is that you've been to Calvary, and the blood has washed down on your sins and washed it away, and you're clean and made whole, and you're all right, my friend. You can sing it. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. My friend, I walked up that aisle that day. That church had lots of things going wrong in it, but I didn't know it. I was a sinner. That church had a lot of things it could have moved up in with the Lord, but I didn't know it because I was a sinner. But when I walked up that aisle, my friend, and all of the faults and failures around there, I didn't see any of them. You say, what did you see? I saw this little sinner boy was dying and going to hell. And if Jesus come that day, I wouldn't make it and he'd leave me behind. And I wanted to be saved. And Anna Cecil came back and took my hand, speaking in tongues. And then she said, the Holy Ghost says, God's, you're going to need God, Eddie, in your life. And I believed it. And I got up, walked down that aisle, 14 years old, and knelt at that altar and cried tears of repentance and asked God to come in my heart and change me. And my friend, God didn't say, yes, but Effie, yes, but so-and-so, yes, but this church, yes, but these people are wrong. He didn't say any of that. You know what he did? He heard my prayer. He heard me cry. And he saved my soul. That's why I know the grace of God is forever and ever and extends. So I know the answer to the test today, my friend. I know the answer. The answer is to be ready to know Jesus as my Savior and just wait a little longer. Jesus, come on now. Are you ready for him to come? Are you ready for him to be there? Is your house all clean and burnished and all that? You remember we used to sing, I'm just full of old songs and stuff, I guess. But we used to sing, if Jesus came to your house, I wonder what you'd do. If he came unexpectedly, what would you do? Would you have to run real quick and look out the peephole in the door and say, could you wait just a minute? I'll be right there. And then you have to run and put some hymn books out and put the Bible where it had been and dust it off and throw the worldly magazines away and knock out the cable TV so he wouldn't know what you'd been watching and listening to and stomp on the computer so you wouldn't know what channels you've been looking at on there. Would you have to do all that? Or could you say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Anybody here besides us old people remember Sister Goldie Knapper? Her long black dresses down to the floor. She had a bunch of people traveling with her, and a little girl, 17 years old, in high school, and she said, Sister Goldie, you're canceling out my prayers. She was 17. She was looking forward to getting married, having a home, and all of that, and she's in the back room praying, oh, Jesus, don't come tonight. Oh, Jesus, don't come tonight. And when she stopped to catch her breath, she could hear Sister Goldie in the front room saying, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. So I don't know where you'd be in all of that. The little girl was saved. She just wanted life. I understood that. My friend, are you ready? Are you ready? Are your children ready? Are your neighbors ready? Is your school got Jesus in it? You know, every once in a while, God just pours out his spirit. You remember a while back they had an outpouring of conviction and Holy Ghost conviction down among the high school students at Williamson. I remember several years ago, Fern and I drove by there. That's all we get done anymore. We can't go anywhere where there's any people. That's we drive and talk. And I guess I get her to drive over old ground. But we drove through Lookout, West Virginia. And as we drove by the high school, I remembered I was 20 years old, maybe. And the phone rang, and it was Tootsie Mooney Slaughter. She said, we've had something happen up here. We need you to come. Holy Ghost revival had broke out among the teenagers in the high school. They did something then they wouldn't do now. They pulled out the bleachers in the gym, and they rolled a piano out into the basketball court. And some little old boy whose last name was Bean come and played the piano, and a bunch of kids came and stood around and sang hymns. And this little old boy walked out in the middle of that basketball court and preached Jesus. And when I would give the invitation, those youngins, bless their sweet little hearts, they'd run off of that basketball court and up through those bleachers just begging people to get saved. And people would come out of the bleachers and repent of their sins. And you say, you drove up there for that revival. Every night we drove from here to nearly Charleston, West Virginia. Hey, it was worth every turn of the wheel to see those kids running off of that basketball court and up through that crowd to get saved and to be touched by God. Now, you say, who sponsored that? Just the Holy Ghost. Maybe some praying mama back there in the hills, West Virginia did. I don't know. But I know what happened. But there wasn't no church behind it. They told Tootsie about it and said if we just had some young fella, some preacher boy to come up here and preach, it would be so good. She said, I know just a man. And you know, I never thought a thing about being that far away, you know. You know why? Souls are important, folks. Religious people need to quit jarring around about religion and get earnest about saving souls. I'm so glad the Lord sent the Holy Ghost to work on this young man. Down in the waters of baptism. You may think he can't say much publicly. He can testify good. You ought to heard him. And it just poured out. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Don't you want to go?
Yes.
Amen. If I don't shut up, you'll be here all day. You know, but I just want people to be saved. I don't want them to be religious. I don't want them particularly to join any church. I just want you to be saved. Amen. Just wash yourself clean in the blood of the Lamb. You say, he'd take me. Honey, he not only will take you, he's begging you to come.
Yes.
Begging you to come. Pleading with you to come. You know why? Because the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Yeah.
It's time. It's time. Father, I thank you so much for the blessing of salvation today and redemption. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the souls that you have saved throughout the years. And Lord, in spite of our sins, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of all the things that we have not done that we should have done and the things we've done we shouldn't have done, you saved us anyway, redeemed us anyway, cleansed us anyway, and we thank you for it. Lord, would you bless this congregation? Save those here this morning who needs to be saved. Save those, Father, who are hearing by electronic transmission some way. Save their soul. And Lord, save this country. Save this country with a nationwide revival. Lord, pour it out among the kids and among the young people. Lord, and among old people too. And let us feel the blessings of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.